News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning broadcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. Lakhs of families across India heeded to Prime Minister Narendra Modi's call to turn off electric lights and use candles, diyas and flashlights for 9 minutes at 9 p.m. on Sunday to commemorate the country's fight against the COVID-19 pandemic, which has so far claimed 83 lives and infected more than 3,500 people. As the clock struck 9 p.m., lights went out in most houses and people gathered in balconies, flashing mobile lights while a few of them lit candles and diyas. Firecrackers could be heard in a few residential colonies in Delhi and Noida, while some residents also blew conch shells. In a video message broadcast last week, Modi said such a gesture will dispel the darkness created by the coronavirus and show that people are together in their fight against the epidemic. You may be alone at home, but 130 crore people are with you, he had said while making the appeal to fuse a sense of unity and purpose among people during the ongoing lockdown. Modi's 9 p.m. 9 minutes appeal was the second such gesture during the India-wide lockdown imposed to arrest the spread of the novel coronavirus, which has claimed 65,000 lives worldwide. The Prime Minister had earlier asked people to clap or beat utensils on March 22 for 5 minutes at 5 p.m. while observing Janta curfew from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. to thank those working in essential services. The death toll due to the novel coronavirus pandemic rose to 83 and the cases climbed to 3,577 in the country on Sunday after 505 new infections were reported in the previous 24 hours. The active COVID-19 cases stand at 3,219, while 274 people were either cured or discharged and one had migrated. 7 deaths have been reported in the previous 24 hours, the Health Ministry data stated. Vice President M. Venkaiah Naidu, along with his wife Usha Amma, lit lamps at the Uparashtrapati Bhavan to express solidarity with the fight against the coronavirus pandemic. Through their overwhelming response to the Prime Minister's call, the people of India have once again reasserted the country's steely resolve to overcome the crisis caused by the pandemic, an official statement quoted Naidu as saying. In Goa, several people stood in their balconies in Panaji, Margao, Mapusa, Ponda, Vasco and other cities and lit lamps and candles. Some of them switched on flashlights of their mobile phones. Many people in Bhopal and other places in Madhya Pradesh switched off lights of their homes and lit up oil lamps and candles. Fireworks, thalis and whistles were heard. At some places, devotional songs, mantras and the national anthem were also played. In Indore, Jabalpur, Gwalior and other towns, a large number of people participated in this campaign. In Lucknow, Uttar Pradesh, Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath and the Speaker of the UP Legislative Assembly too lit lamps at their official residences in Lucknow. Adityanath lit lamps arranged in the shape of Om. Some people in the state capital blew conch shells and exploded firecrackers on this occasion to express their solidarity. The explosion of firecrackers continued at least till 9:15 p.m. There was a tremendous response to the Prime Minister's appeal in Haryana as well, where people in villages, small towns and big cities such as Gurgaon, Faridabad, Rohtak, Hisar, Karnal and Panchkula lit candles and lamps. At some places, including Rohtak, policemen who were on duty also lit candles and turned on their mobile phone torch. Lights were also switched off at the official residence of Kerala Chief Minister Pinarayi Vijayan for 9 minutes from 9 p.m. Various ministers also took part by switching off the lights of their official residences. Kerala Governor Arif Mohammed Khan, along with his wife, lit lamps at the Raj Bhavan to express people's unity in fighting COVID-19. The 9-minute event went off well without any disruption in the electricity grid after the government and utilities put in place elaborate plans to deal with the sudden drop and then a quick spurt in demand. Power Minister R.K. Singh told PTI the power supply ramp down and ramp up, the officials handled very smoothly, and I, along with my senior officials, Power Secretary, POSCO CMD, were personally monitoring the situation from National Monitoring Center in the ministry. I congratulate all the engineers of NLDC, RLDC and SLDCs for handling the situation very efficiently, especially in the huge response to the Prime Minister's call. He also lauded Power Genco's NTPC and NHPC for rising up to the occasion. There were apprehensions about adverse effect on the electricity grid due to the blackout among the people, which were dispelled by the Ministry of Power on Saturday, saying these are misplaced. The government on Saturday sought to assuage fears of the electricity grid instability due to simultaneous switching on and off of most lights in the country, saying adequate protocols are in place to handle the variation in demand without causing any damage to appliances. US President Donald Trump held a phone conversation with Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Sunday, where the two leaders agreed to deploy the full strength of the India-US partnership to resolutely and effectively combat COVID-19, according to a statement released by the government. Later, during a press interaction, Trump said he requested Modi to release the amounts of hydroxychloroquine that the United States ordered. The United States is heavily relying on the antimalarial drug for treating COVID-19 patients. Trump has also referred to it as a game changer in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic. However, the day this conversation took place, the Directorate General of Foreign Trade in India put a complete ban on the export of hydroxychloroquine and its formulations without exception. It changed a March notification that said export can be allowed on a case-to-case basis. The US President said India is giving his request a serious consideration, adding that India makes large amounts of hydroxychloroquine, very large amounts, frankly. There was no immediate response from the government on whether it would consider making an exception for the US after the call. This, as the total number of positive cases in India between Saturday and Sunday climbed up by 427 and there were 11 more deaths, according to Lav Agarwal, Joint Secretary in the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. Ukrainian authorities on Sunday reported a spike in radiation levels in the restricted zone around Chernobyl, scene of the world's worst nuclear accident caused by a forest fire. There is bad news. Radiation is above normal in the fire center, Yegor Firsov, head of Ukraine's State Ecological Inspection Service, said on Facebook. The post included a video with a Geiger counter showing radiation at 16 times above normal. The fire has spread to about 100 hectares of forest, Firsov wrote. Kiev has mobilized two planes, a helicopter, and around 100 firefighters to fight the blaze, which broke out on Saturday and spread over 20 hectares in a forested area near the Chernobyl power plant. On Sunday morning, the fire was not visibly burning and no increase in radiation in the air had been detected, the emergency service said in a statement. However, the service said Saturday that increased radiation in some areas had led to difficulties in fighting the fire, while stressing that people living nearby were not in danger. Chernobyl polluted a large swathe of Europe when its fourth reactor exploded in April 1986, with the area immediately around the power plant the worst affected. People are not allowed to live within 30 kilometers of the power station. The three other reactors at Chernobyl continued to generate electricity until the power station finally closed in 2000. A giant protective dome was put in place over the fourth reactor in 2016. Fires are common in the forest near the disused power plant. Britain needed a message of hope on Sunday. The Queen delivered it. Queen Elizabeth II offered support to a country locked down in the coronavirus pandemic, promising the nation that it would rise to the challenge and overcome the outbreak. In a rare address to the nation, the 93-year-old monarch acknowledged the suffering that many families have experienced because of the COVID-19 crisis, which has infected more than 47,800 people in the UK and killed at least 4,934 of them. She drew upon wisdom from her decades as Britain's head of state to urge resolve in a time of crisis. "While we have faced challenges before, this one is different," she said. "This time we join with all nations across the globe in a common endeavor, using the great advances of science and our instinctive compassion to heal. We will succeed, and that success will belong to every one of us." Her remarks were broadcast only moments before Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Downing Street office announced he had been admitted to the hospital for precautionary tests. The news will add to unease in Britain, which has been in lockdown for nearly 2 weeks. The Queen gives yearly Christmas messages but has given an address like this on only three previous occasions. She delivered speeches after the Queen Mother's death in 2002, before the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales, in 1997, and at the time of the first Gulf War in 1991. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.